It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickard is off today. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, the Paralympics Games are going on this week in Sochi, Russia. We'll meet a Wisconsin man who's working on cross-country skiing for people with disabilities. But first, a new Gallup poll shows the rate of uninsured Americans is on track to be at the lowest level in years. The survey shows the number of uninsured people has dropped in almost every demographic group so far this year. The rate has dropped the most for people who are uninsured and make less than $36,000 a year. Tom Oliver is with us to discuss this news and whether or not it can be chalked up to the Affordable Care Act. He's a professor of population health sciences at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health and director of the Master of Public Health program at UW-Madison. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
So according to this poll, more people are signing up for health care as more parts of the Affordable Care Act come into practice now. Is there a connection? Did the Affordable Care Act lead more people to be insured?
I think the Affordable Care Act is part of the good news here. Clearly, the economy has been on a slower than desired, but still positive direction for the last few years, and that certainly has brought more people opportunities to have jobs and either pay for their own health benefits or get them through their employment. But there's no question that the news of just in the last month that there's been an uptick in enrollment is almost certainly directly attributable to expansion of Medicaid eligibility in state programs and also folks being able to sign up through the health insurance exchanges, both in the states and those sponsored by the federal government.
So looking at that Gallup poll anyway, still over 15% of Americans are uninsured. Sounds like a lot. Did we expect more people to have coverage by now?
We're expecting, according to the Congressional Budget Office, the nonpartisan so-called scorekeeper of health reform, to see about 7 million people sign up in the first year of the Affordable Care Act's full implementation, which is this year. And so we're well on our way to that, but still about 4 million folks have signed up for health insurance coverage that didn't have it. So we still have a little bit of a gap, and that's probably due to a combination of things. The fiasco around the startup of the federal government health insurance exchanges, healthcare.gov website that we heard much about in the late fall, and also some confusion, and also the fact that you're not required to sign up for insurance until the end of this month, March, before any financial penalties would kick in.
We've seen, in addition to that rocky start of the website, bumping back the deadlines for different groups of employers to have to provide coverage. Is that a sign of poor planning or just a bigger problem that planners thought they had to tackle from the outset?
It's a good question, exactly what the reasons for these delays. They're certainly, some of them are being attributable to politics and electioneering. On the other hand, I think we've seen that this is such a complicated reform that when you're trying to expand private insurance and public insurance options at the same time in different parts of the market and set different rules for each part of that market, that you're not getting it all right at the same time. And so I think some of them are just simply being realistic and wanting to be sure that people don't experience gaps in coverage simply because they or their employers were caught in between, good opportunities to keep their coverage or get new and better improved coverage.
And also on the theme of extensions, the administration announced last week it would allow health insurers to renew plans that aren't currently compliant with the Affordable Care Act for another 2 years to avoid a whole bunch of people dropping off of policies at once, I guess. Was that a good call, or would we have seen this big rush of people without coverage?
It's hard to know what would have happened, and I think I would actually give a little bit of credence to critics who are saying that the administration is picking and choosing different provisions of the legislation in terms of enforcing its implementation. What is not good policy to give people a chance to stay on coverage that has very, very thin benefits. nothing like the coverage that they would be given through the exchanges or other options. So people who keep those plans will not have great coverage typically, or will be liable for very, very large contributions towards that coverage. On the other hand, it avoids a lot of people being confused or not being quite aware where to look for those better options. So I think the problem is that we haven't had as strong an opportunity to get out the message about opportunities for enrollment, had a great outreach as we saw many years ago with the Children's Health Insurance Program. And so it's been a little bit of a struggle, and the message that the public is receiving is a little bit complex and confusing.
Well, speaking of outreach, here's a clip of President Obama on Zach Galifianakis's semi-serious talk show, Between Two Ferns. The president was there to put in a plug for the health care plan.
What we want is for people to know that you can get affordable health care. And most young Americans right now, they're not covered. And the truth is that they can get coverage all for what it costs you to pay your cell phone bill.
So there's the president in a venue reaching out to younger Americans with a message targeted toward younger people. How important is that to the success of the Affordable Care Act, getting younger people to sign up?
Well, it's really important from the sheer perspective of we want a broad risk pool, so to speak. We need young people and healthier people in the pool because that both lowers the average costs of health insurance, but it also gives insurance companies a chance to lower what we call the risk premium that's added on top, the uncertainty that they have that they might have to pay out more in healthcare costs than the premiums coming in the door. And so we all benefit with lower healthcare costs, the more of us that are in the insurance pool. The thing is, we've had dramatic success with many parts of the Affordable Care Act. Remember, the full name of it was the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. And the patient protections are the things that are by far the most popular with Americans. You don't have lifetime limits to your insurance coverage. You can't be kicked off because you got sick and cost the insurance company a lot of money. You can't be kicked out because somebody found an error in your application, including a typo or something that allows them to invalidate it. And for young people, the key provision was that you could stay on your family's health coverage if that was desirable in terms of cost or the quality of coverage. And so millions of young Americans have been able to either gain or maintain their coverage through that key provision of the Affordable Care Act.
We've seen some analysis that Wisconsin, as far as people who have signed up for the Affordable Care Act goes, is among the oldest in the country. Us, and I think it was West Virginia, had an older population signing up, not as many young people. Is that a worry on a state-by-state basis?
I think it depends on how we see things playing out over the next year or two. We've had a slower rollout of the Affordable Care Act provisions because Wisconsin did not expand its own Medicaid program to the fullest extent possible under the law, and it is a little slow in getting its health insurance exchange up and running compared to some of the other states that actually launched well ahead of the formal deadline this winter. So I think we're going to have to see how that plays out. But it wouldn't necessarily be that surprising given the large number of manufacturing jobs that were lost in the Great Recession and have not been reclaimed. Those tended to come with good insurance and good salaries or wages that would allow people to buy coverage. So we may be seeing a lagged effect of our overall economic performance in the health insurance enrollment numbers so far.
Looking ahead, are we going to see something close to full coverage in our country?
Actually, and that's probably the single most misleading part of the Affordable Care Act, as people understand it. It was not designed to actually give us universal coverage. We were always going to have, even in the best scenario, about 20 to 30 million people still uninsured. On the other hand, about 30 million or more were going to gain insurance coverage. So it's a half a loaf approach, but it's a huge step forward, and it really sets up the opportunity to keep expanding towards universal coverage. If our economy improves, if our the politics around healthcare reform settle down, and we get back to the question of what do people really need, and what are we willing to do as a country to ensure that there's adequate health care. And we learn that, as we see the numbers roll out, that paying now is better than paying later for an awful lot of health care problems. And I would say, Rob, the good news, the really good news of the Affordable Care Act and health care reform in general, is that we've had by far the greatest slowdown in health care spending in a generation or two. Over the last 30 years, we had annual increases of about 7% or more in our nation's health care bill. The last 4 years, we've had 3% to 3.5%.
We'll leave it there. Tom, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
That's Tom Oliver, professor of population health sciences at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, talking about a new poll showing the rate of uninsured Americans is on track to be the lowest it's been in years.